Lord, speak to us through your word today, we pray. Amen. Vision and mission. What should our vision and mission be as All Saints Church here in Crawley Down? Indeed, what should be the vision and mission of our Church of England and the worldwide church? These questions matter, and indeed our parochial church council, the PCC, was talking about them last Thursday evening. Because God has a purpose and a mission for his church. And contrary to popular secular opinion, that purpose and mission isn't just for the church to survive in diminishing holy huddles. But what is God's purpose and mission for his church? Well, we can do a lot worse than examining what Jesus said about his own vision and mission. Because the church is Jesus' legacy to the world, sent by him to continue his work. Now, of course, we all know why Jesus came, to die on the cross and by that undeserved death, save all of us who follow him from the deathly consequences of our own wrongdoing. But individual salvation is not the only reason why Jesus came, according to his own words recorded in today's gospel reading. Let's set the scene. It's around, 29 AD maybe. Jesus returned from being tempted in the wilderness and in the power of the Holy Spirit set out on a tour of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, healing, and being wondered at and glorified by all. During this touring around, he based himself in Capernaum on the shores of Lake Galilee. But at some point, he goes back to his hometown of Nazareth, where they've heard something about what's happening. So when he goes to the Nazareth synagogue on the Sabbath, the attendant hands him the scroll of Isaiah. Jesus unrolls it to near the end, to Isaiah, what is Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2 in our Bible. Now the scrolls in Jesus' time were not neatly divided into chapters and verses, but nonetheless, Jesus knew exactly where to find this passage. And in the passage, the writer says God's Spirit is on him to proclaim good news to the poor, liberty to the captives and the oppressed, recovery of sight for the blind, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. At the end of the reading, Jesus sits down. That doesn't mean he was sitting back to listen to what happened next. Sitting down was the usual posture for people to teach at that time. And he says to the whole synagogue, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Now that amazed them, because they just knew Jesus as the village carpenter's son, they'd seen him growing up. But Jesus is saying that he himself is the one sent to proclaim good news, liberty, sight, and the year of the Lord's favour. That was and remains his mission. And it's a mission which is part of the mission of the church now. St. Paul says in our New Testament reading today that we are the body of Christ, and that the members of that body must use their different gifts to work together like a physical body. And I'm very grateful to Richard for his very clear reading of that passage. I could preach another sermon on that, But you'll probably be relieved to hear I'm not. And in fact, I think it was very clear just from what Paul says and as Richard read it. But Jesus entrusted his mission to his church after the resurrection. As St. Teresa of Avila said in the 16th century, Christ has no body on earth now but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. So let's examine what Jesus himself identified as his mission. Now, one thing that's very clear from later in the Gospels is that the mission of the church certainly includes proclaiming the good news of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. And that may be how the year of the Lord's favour should be interpreted here. In traditional Judaism, this would have been interpreted as a reference to the year of Jubilee, when slaves were freed and debts were cancelled, and everyone could make a new start. It is a very appropriate metaphor for the liberation from sin and its consequences that Jesus' death accomplished for us. But that's not only what Jesus says. Right at the heart of the Isaiah passage that Jesus adopts as his mission is God's concern for the needy and disadvantaged, a concern that runs all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Good news of salvation, but also good news for the poor. Now, it must be said, Christians and Christ Church have a bit of a mixed record on this one. In the past, wealthy Christians, including many clergy, have often been content to shut their eyes to the gross inequality of their societies and the suffering of the poor. But nonetheless, Christians have often been at the forefront of movements for relief and help for the poor. Indeed, many of them were founded by them, and also for fairer economic systems and social justice. It's no accident that those countries with a Christian heritage have taken furthest the welfare state and the care for the poor and needy. Part of this good news, of course, of good news for the poor, is the relief and development work that charities like Tear Fund, as well as the food banks for the poor in this country, many set up by churches. And I think many of us may support these charities. But it also includes campaigns for social justice, like Archbishop Welby's campaign against the payday lenders, who were making the poor even poorer. And other aspects of justice are mentioned in the Isaiah passage. Liberty for the unjustly imprisoned and those oppressed by their rulers. This isn't just a reference to spiritual liberty of being free in Christ. The work that Amnesty, founded by a Christian, and others do to campaign for those unfairly imprisoned to be for their release and their compensation is 100% in line with this. It's no wonder that dictators and despots everywhere feel threatened by active Christian churches. And in the area of medical help, healing, again, Christians have been at the forefront. Through from medieval times, when the monasteries were the centres for healing for the population and offered shelter for those suffering from leprosy. Indeed, to charities like Leprosy Mission nowadays. Excuse me. Christians should be helping to heal those who are ill. So every church, including All Saints, needs to ask itself, what are we doing to make these words of Isaiah, adopted by Jesus as his mission, what are we doing to make these a reality in today's world? What should be our part in that mission? We can't do everything, but we can do something. The PCC was considering that on Thursday night, and your PCC members would value your input. So pray about it and talk to the PCC members. Perhaps I can just rephrase what Teresa of Avila said with a different pronoun. Christ has no body on earth now but ours. No hands but ours. No feet but ours. Ours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on the world. Ours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Ours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, show us what we should be doing to fulfill your mission as your church in Crawley Down. Amen.